Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoyed the teaching of our guest speaker this week. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org.
Good morning, church family. My family and I are on the road this morning. We are doing a little spring break getaway. Thanks for allowing us to be gone and have a little rest and relaxation with our family. Lord willing, we'll be back with you next Sunday and looking forward to that. This morning, I'm really excited for you to hear from one of our own. Scott Partridge is going to be preaching this morning. He's going to be sharing some updates on the call that God has on his life and his wife, Rachel, as they're preparing to head overseas next fall with the International Mission Board as missionaries. They're going to be traveling and living in Hamburg, Germany. You'll get to hear a little bit more about that. Some of you may already be aware of that call and that story that we've been watching God write and unfold over the last 4 years that they've been members here at our church. You'll get updated this morning, and if this is a new part of the story for you, you're in for a real treat. We certainly want to be praying with them, continue to support them as they're getting ready to head overseas next fall. We've put a team around the Partridges, a couple of seasoned missionary couples, the Millers and the Burgesses. Rick and Jackie Miller are longtime career missionaries with the International Mission Board. They're coming alongside them and helping just speak into their life, get everything in order for them to depart next fall. And then the Burgess family. Philip and Susie Burgess have extensive overseas mission experience, and so they're speaking into their life, walking alongside of them as well. You're in for a real treat this morning. I'm really grateful that Scott is going to be able to update us and share the call and why move across the world to share the good news of the gospel. So will you help me this morning welcome Scott Partridge.
All right. Well, good morning. Good morning. It is always a joy to be here every week to be with our church family and to gather and worship with you. And definitely a joy this morning to be here to give you an update and also just to share a little bit from God's word about just what God is doing in my life and Rachel's life and I think also in the life of our church, and just to give you an update on that. Definitely want to take a moment just to thank Pastor David for giving me this opportunity. I just love our pastor, and I hope y'all do as well, because I like him, you know. I'm just so thankful for how he has shepherded me and Rachel during this season of our lives as we're preparing to go overseas, and we'll continue to shepherd our church as we partner together in this. Again, if you don't know who I am, like Pastor David said, my name's Scott Partridge, and me and my wife Rachel and our family, at the time we just had one child, now we've got two since being here. We came to Arapahoe Road almost 4 years ago. And I came on staff as our student pastor, and a couple years into being on staff, also absorbed our missions and outreach responsibilities as well. And just in August of last year, in 2016, stepped away from being on staff so we could kind of focus on this transition time to prepare to go overseas and serve with the International Mission Board overseas. And from the very beginning, it was known to our pastor and our staff and to the church here that this was a call that God had on our lives, that one day we were going to leave here and we were gonna head overseas. We were gonna plant our lives there in order to reach the nations with the gospel. And so, what I want to do this morning is kind of just share some updates from God's word and from our lives, so you can see what God is doing. This morning, I've titled the message "Updates from a Missionary," and the passage we're going to be in is in Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 14. So, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you don't have one, there should be one in front of you in the pew rack, and it's on page 949. If you're using that Bible, it's always great when Pastor David says the page number, because mine are the exact same numbers, and so I'm like, I can just turn turn right there. So it's 9:49 in my Bible too. That's where we're going to be this morning. And I've titled this sermon, Updates from a Missionary, not just so you can get some updates from me and hear what God is doing in our lives, but Paul, arguably the greatest missionary ever to walk the earth, in this passage, just gives some updates to a church here in Rome and says, here are some things that God's doing in my ministry, and here's how you can be involved, and here's how you can pray for us. And so I want us to look at God's word to see what's happening in Paul's ministry so we can see how that affects our lives so that we can be involved with what God is doing in the world. And so what we'll find, though, is that Paul, throughout this passage, is deeply connected to the church. And we see that throughout his ministry as well. You can see through the book of Acts, you can look like in chapter 13 when he and Barnabas are sent out by the church in Antioch, and then just other examples throughout the book of Acts. And then we get to this passage and we see his love for this church in Rome, who actually he's never seen before. He's never been there. We're going to find out he wants to go see them, but he deeply loves the people in this church, and he wants them to participate in his ministry and what God is doing to reach people with the gospel. And so knowing that there's this connection with the church, here's kind of the main point I want us to walk away with today. And I believe we've got a slide on this. The main point I want us to see is this: to be part of the church is to be on mission. All right. So like Pastor David likes to normally do, let's take an out loud note together. Is that how he says it right? Yeah. So let's do that together. Okay. To be part of the church is to be on mission. How do we say that here at Arapahoe Road? We end every service by saying we're in community and
on mission.
So y'all are experts at this. All right. And then even over time, we've added some things to say. We do that by we follow Jesus, love your neighbor, bless the city, and make disciples, right? So that's just part of the culture here at Arapahoe Road. We say we're in community and we're on mission. If someone were to come up to you and say, hey, you go to Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, what's your church about? You would probably say something along the lines of in community and on mission, because that's who we are. And so we see this throughout the Bible, and we see this in this passage of scripture as well. To be part of the church is to be on mission. Now, the thing is, the opposite is also true. To be disconnected from the church is to be disconnected from the mission of God. And that's one thing that's actually kind of popular in our culture today, and even among some of the younger generation, but we see it in all generations, really. We'll say, okay, I want to follow God. I want to know God's will for my life, and I want to follow Jesus. But you know, maybe I've been hurt by the church in the past, or maybe I just I see the church as kind of outdated or antiquated, and so I want to disconnect from the church, but I love Jesus, and I want to follow him. Well, the thing is, the reason Jesus came was to die for the church and to give his life so that the church could be reconciled to God in a right relationship with him. So if you want to disconnect yourself from the church, you are disconnecting yourself from the reason why Jesus even came. And so we have to be connected to the church. So anyone who calls themselves a follower of Christ, you've repented of your sins, you've trusted in Jesus for your salvation, you are part of the church, the body of Christ, those who are walking with Jesus. But then we also are to plug into a local assembly of believers, like what we have here at Arapahoe Road. And not just at Arapahoe Road, but in other churches in our city and in our area and around the world, there are thousands and thousands, millions of local churches, people coming together for a common purpose to reach their area and the nations with the gospel. And so we have to be connected to the church to be on mission with God. And we're going to see that in this passage. So let's go ahead and look at our Bibles. It's none of the verses are going to be on the screen, so I apologize. You're actually going to have to like read it in your Bible, or if you've got it on your phone, that's great as well. But I want us to look at three ways that we as the church can be on mission and can live on mission and follow Jesus on mission. So let's pick it up in chapter 15, beginning in verse 14. It says this, it says, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. But on some points I've written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. So the first way that we as a church can live on mission is by going. And that's the first point. Going is a way that we can live on mission. What Paul does in this passage is he reminds the church in Rome of the calling that God has placed on his life. Look at verse 16. He says that he is called to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, God has called me. There is this special call on my life to go to the Gentiles or to non-Jewish people to reach them with the gospel and tell them about Jesus. That's the call that God has placed on my life. And so this was a special call that Paul had. Now, in some ways, every single believer is called to go and make disciples. We are to be obedient to the command that Jesus has given us. Matthew chapter 28, we're going to say this at the end of our time together, to go and make disciples of all nations. Every single one of us is called to do that. But then some people will have a special or particular call on their lives to go to another part of the world or to another area for the reason of sharing the gospel with people who live there. And so this is what Paul's ministry was. Jesus had set him apart to go to Gentiles who had never heard the gospel so that they could hear about what Jesus had done for them. This was a revolutionary ministry at the time in the first century, but this is what Paul was called to do. And what he does in the following verses is he starts to recap his ministry, just giving updates to this church, saying, this is what's happening. This is what has been happening in other parts of the world. Look at verse 17. He says, in Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience. So, people are getting saved. People are trusting in Jesus for salvation. Here's how that's happening. By word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. So he's teaching people and he's living a life honoring to God to show them what it means to follow Jesus. There are miracles happening. You know, people are being healed of diseases. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit is being active. And that's the biggest, most important thing. The Holy Spirit is working in Paul and in the lives of these people that he's trying to reach so that the gospel can reach them. And so that is how these Gentiles are coming to faith. But then he continues. So by the power of the signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. And then he says, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Okay, so we actually kind of need to take a step back here to fully understand what Paul is saying in this verse right here. From Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum. Now, if you're like me, you know where Jerusalem is. That's like in the news all the time, right? But Illyricum, you don't know where in the world that place is, right? I don't know. I mean, that could be like what, like 5 miles away? I don't know. So we really need to get an idea of what is going on in this verse. So I've actually got a map. It's not geography class, but all right, this will be good. So this is a map of the Roman Empire in the first century when Paul wrote this letter. And so you can kind of see where Jerusalem is over there, kind of on the bottom right, that city. And so, and then you kind of follow up north into modern day Syria. You see Antioch, which is where he and Barnabas were called out, Acts chapter 13. And then you kind of keep going north and then west, and that's kind of through modern day Turkey. And then you keep going west and you get over into modern day Greece. And then you see right above Macedonia, you see Illyricum. And so Illyricum's not a city, it's like an area of land. And so what Paul is saying is from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, my job's done. I have completely fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Now, what does he mean by this? Is he saying that every single person who lives in that area from Jerusalem to Illyricum has heard the gospel? No, that's not what he's saying. But here's what he is saying. He's saying, I have gone through these areas and I've helped start churches and I've helped train leaders and I've helped encourage them so that they can then do the work necessary to continue on and reach their cities and reach their areas with the gospel. Paul's special calling was to go where people had never heard before. And so he's saying, We've got churches in these areas. We've got people to continue the ministry. It's time for me to move on. I'm completely fulfilled the ministry that God has for me here. So that was Paul's goal. That was his calling. His mission was to go and start churches where people had not heard before. When I think about our lives, mine and Rachel's and the calling God has on our lives, we've been called to go as well. Now, we are not like Paul, all right? Paul's like up here and we're further down, all right? So like Paul is like the standard when it comes to missionary service. But we have a similar calling and that we have a desire and a call to go where people have not heard the gospel before and reach people with the gospel. And so that's what we're planning to do. We're planning on heading overseas to Hamburg, Germany. Why Hamburg? You know, that's a Western city, you know, but here's the deal. There are millions of people who live in and around Hamburg, including thousands and thousands and thousands of immigrants and refugees, many of whom have never heard the gospel or heard about what Jesus has done so that they can be reconciled and return to a right relationship with God. And we need to go and tell them. They gotta know. They gotta know. And so that's why we've been called to go. We want to reach them with the gospel. The mission in the city of Hamburg is quite similar, just on a smaller scale, to what Paul's mission was. The missionaries that we'll be working with, that the leaders with the IMB in that city, have set up a strategy for the city. They've divided it into 100 different neighborhoods, and they want to go into every single neighborhood and either start a church or strengthen an existing church to where they can continue the ministry and reach their neighborhood with the gospel. And so in some churches, in some of these neighborhoods, the church is in a physical location. They've got a physical building like this one. In fact, we had a chance to take a small team from our church to Hamburg a few summers ago. And we actually got to worship on a Sunday morning with a church there in Hamburg, an evangelical church. And they had about 100 members in their church. And it was great to see them worshiping together. We didn't understand any of the sermon because it was all in German. We'll get there. We'll learn the language. But it was just great to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ in this area. They were worshiping the Lord. So some churches may look like that. Some churches may meet in homes or in parks or in some other form. What's important is it's a group of believers working together to hold each other accountable and reach their neighborhood with the gospel. That's what the church is. And so we want to see churches started in every single neighborhood in Hamburg. And once these churches have been started and they're strengthened and they're healthy and ready to continue the work on their own, then we'll continue to encourage them and check on them. But it's time to move on to the next neighborhood where there might be some people who have never heard of Jesus before. And we're going to start there in that neighborhood, and we're going to strengthen them. And then when that's ready, we're going to move on. And so this is the calling that Paul had on his life. And this is a similar calling and a strategy that we have on our lives. We've been called to go and tell people who have never heard the gospel. We want them to know who Jesus is. So that's one way that we've been called, but also some of you may be called to live on mission is by going. Second way is through sending. So let's continue to read. Let's pick it up in verse 22 of chapter 15. And we'll see how the church gets involved in this passage. Verse 22, "This is the reason why I've so often been hindered from coming to you," because he was busy planting churches, so he didn't get to go to Rome. He says, "But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and I have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ." So what's going on in this paragraph, in this passage? When you look at this, in one ways, this book of Romans is like one gigantic support letter. So like raise your hand if you've ever written or you've received a support letter for like someone who's going on a mission trip, maybe for like 1 week or for a few months or a summer or something. Yeah, I've received those. I've written them as well. What if the next one you got was 16 chapters? That'd be pretty cool, right? You want to read that one, right? It's like, no, I'm just going to set this to the side. Maybe I'll read it later or something, right? That's kind of what Paul does here. This is one huge support letter. He's wanting to encourage the church, but then his main goal is to say, hey, I haven't been able to come to see you yet, but I want to come to see you so that you can help me and support me as we try to go to Spain. Why? Because the gospel hadn't been there yet. It hasn't gotten to Spain yet. You see this, look in verse 24. "I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while." So he's saying, I want you to get me there, church in Rome. It's almost like they don't even have a choice, but Paul has the way to authority to throw that around. But he's saying, I got to get there. I got to get to Spain and you're going to help me get there. Again, we see this. Paul wants the mission of God to be connected to the church. He's not going to be some rogue missionary out there on his own, doing his own thing. God's not going to bless that. He's saying the church has to be connected to this mission. And so that's why he wants to go. And he wants this church to help him financially. It's unknown if Paul ever did make it to Spain. Some evidence suggests he might have at some point in his life, but it's not really known for sure. But we know that what his goal was. His goal was to get to Spain because people there needed the gospel. And his calling on his life, it just gripped him to say, I've got to get there. Church in Rome, will you help me? For us to get to Hamburg, Arapahoe Road is going to be our sending church. We've got to raise our support, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit, but we need the church to be our support structure, both financially and spiritually, just to help us get there and sustain us while we are over there. Because again, to be disconnected from the church is to be disconnected from the mission of God. So we want the church to be there with us. So again, we'll be raising our support. All that support is going to be funneled through the church. And we'll talk about how that can even happen in just a few minutes. But all the support comes to the church, and it's going to help us do the ministry that God has called us to do. This is so vital. And there's going to be an agreement between us and with the church. We've been walking with the church. We've been walking with the Millers and the Burgesses, and as they've been kind of leading out the assessment process. But we've been walking with the elders as well, just getting their approval at every step along the way, so that we know the church is behind us and blessing us as we go through this. It's so important that we're connected with our church as we go through this. And we know that y'all will be encouraging us and supporting us as we prepare to go and as we're there. Real quickly, the third way to live on mission. So we got going, we got sending. The third way is by praying. Look at verse 30 of this chapter. Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So Paul here is just pleading with this church to say, please pray for me. And he gets very vulnerable with these prayers as well. He says, there's some people in Jerusalem and in Judea that kind of want to kill me. Please pray that they don't. and he says, and I've got to take this offering to Jerusalem. Please pray that that goes well. And then he prays to want to be able to go to this church in Rome and enjoy his time with them. He gets very specific, but also very vulnerable with these prayer requests. He's not general, again, because he's inviting the church to be a part of his ministry. And he wants them to labor together with him. Paul makes sure to not neglect the importance of prayer when he's talking with this church. In preparing for this sermon, I did just a quick little study. So Paul wrote 13 letters in the New Testament, 13 books. And in every single book, except for Titus for some reason, I don't know why. Titus is the outlier. In every single book except Titus, prayer is mentioned in some form. So Paul clearly values prayer in his writings. And so he's saying, I need you, church in Rome, to be praying for me. As I am going through this ministry, I can't do it alone. I've got to have people praying for me at every step along the way. For our ministry as well, we really need and we value and covet your prayers. Just a few requests, since Paul gave some very specific requests, here are some specific ways you can be praying for us. One, be praying for our families as we are preparing to leave. It's going to be a good time of transition. We want to enjoy the time we do have with them, but pray for us and pray for them, as there will be some extended time away when we won't be able to see them in person. Pray for me as I am trying so hard to finish school before we leave. I got just a few classes left in seminary, and I want to finish before we leave. And then perhaps the biggest request is pray for us as we have to raise our support in order to go. And you're like, well, Scott, how much do you have to raise? I'm glad you asked. Here's how much. $22,000 in one-time costs, and then $10,000 a month. It's a lot. And sometimes we see those numbers and we're like, man, That's crazy. How are we going to raise that? Nothing's impossible with God. And so we know that God will provide for us, but that he's going to do it through the church, because the church is God's mission to take the gospel to the nations. And so that's where we're going to call on you to help us, to support us. We're going to ask you to be on our support team. But that's a substantial amount of money, but we know that God will provide it, and we know that he will do so in a way that brings glory to Christ and advances the kingdom. And so as we think about these three ways to be on mission, where are you? Which one of these do you fit in? You can fit into more than one. You can fit into all three. But where has God called you to live on mission, as we see in this passage? Are you called to go? Like me and Rachel, we're called to go. And some of you have been called to go as well. You've been feeling this burden in your life. Maybe it's just to get really involved here at the church, and you need to be involved with one of these local partnerships that we have, and you need to get out there, and you need to serve, and you need to serve well. Some of you may feel called to go and plant a church or be on a church planting team in some other city in our country to take the gospel there and plant a church. Or you might be called to go and plant your lives somewhere overseas among people who have never heard the gospel. I would say in a room with this many people, there is at least one person who feels that calling to go. And if that is you, the church wants to walk with you. The church wants to be there and support you. So if that's you, I would really encourage you to fill that out on one of these Connect cards. Fill that out. You can give it to me. You can give it to Dan or Kelly or one of our elders, and we'll follow up with you. Because the church wants to be able to walk with you as you're looking at this calling that God has on your life. I think about this past week, Rachel and I were in Virginia actually doing some training with the IMB in preparation for some of these next steps in the coming months. And one of the representatives of the IMB was sharing his story about how God called him to go overseas. And where he began to be really convicted, and this just cut me, this is going to stick with me, I think, for the rest of my life. He said, many of us are willing to go. Like if we felt like God called us to go to the nations and to move overseas, we'll say, hey, God, if that's what you want me to do, absolutely, I will do it. So we are willing to go, but we're planning to stay. And he said, that's where I was. He said, I was doing these things. I was building up treasures for myself. I was looking at buying some land that I could develop. And he said, I was willing to go and say yes to God, but I was planning on staying. And he says, what if the reverse was the normal? He said, what if we were willing to stay, but we were planning to go? And we were actually actively seeking to go and make disciples of all nations. What would our lives look like? What would our churches look like if that was the norm? Instead of willing to go but planning to stay, it would be we're willing to stay but planning to go. And the last thing I would encourage, if that's you, if you feel like you're called to go, my last word of encouragement to you would be patient in the Lord's timing. This has been a long process for me and Rachel. Be patient in the Lord's timing, but don't plan to stay. Plan to go, but be willing to stay. Some of you may be called for that second thing. You're called to send. You already know you got to be on our financial support team. You're already making plans on doing that. And some of you have even said, hey, whatever you need, you let us know, because we want to be on that team. We understand this is a big commitment, and it's going to require people to step out in faith, because we're not asking you for your tithe. We're not asking you for what you normally give to the church, even though it's all still going to the church. We're asking over and above, because we're not going to take God's money. And so we're asking, hey, will you consider giving over and above what you're already giving to the church through your tithes and offerings, and would you consider giving to us and being on our support team, whether that's just a one-time gift, if that's all you can do, or whether you want to be on that monthly support team. It's a big commitment, but God is good. He provides us with what we need, and He loves a cheerful giver. When I think about sending, and I was thinking about this while preparing for this, I ended up thinking about baseball because that's just how my mind works. And you're like, how is this gonna work out? Just follow with me. Baseball is almost here. It's spring training. I'm excited. I just love baseball. Hopefully I can get to a couple Rangers games before we head out overseas. But when we think about the team, we think about, okay, you know, you got 9 players on the field, and then you've got, you know, your bullpen and your bench. You got all these players, but there are other people that are part of the organization that help make the product on the field what it is, but they're never noticed. I think about the equipment managers, all right? Equipment managers. If they didn't do their job, then you got dirty uniforms. I mean, you got players that won't have the bats that they need or the gloves that they need to be able to do their job well. And so if the equipment manager does his or her job the right way, then we see the end result of the product on the field, but they don't get the recognition for it. They're not on a Sports Center unless they do something weird or something and they get caught on camera, but they're not noticed. They don't get recognized for what they do. It's very much behind the scenes, but if they don't do their job, it affects what happens on the field. And in the same way, if the church is not active and diligent in the job of sending people to go and make disciples, it very much affects how effective we can be on the field. And so we're gonna ask people to be part of our team. So if you've got questions about that, or maybe you're even willing, you're like, hey, sign me up. I'm ready to give to y'all because I've seen what God's been doing on your lives. Here's what you can do. Just a next step. And I've got permission and actually the request from Pastor David to do this, all right? We've got my email up here. scott@arapahoeroad.org, okay? If you want to give to us to be able to go, just send an email to me. You can even do it right now. Just pull it up on your phone. My phone's not in my pocket, so it's not gonna buzz or anything like that, all right? So just feel free, send me an email. You can even do that right now and say, hey, I've got questions about what it means to give to you guys or to be on your support team. Or, hey, I'm ready and I'm willing. You tell me how much you need. We'll tell you how much we need. But say, hey, we wanna be on that team. Please consider us. We're going to gather all of these email addresses so that we can get in touch with you. We can contact you and let you know what the next steps are. If you want to give online, also, you can go to our website. And on the top right, there's a give section. You can set up even a recurring monthly gift through that whole process. Just in the memo, you write Missions Germany so that it gets designated to the right place. If you want to write a check, put Missions Germany in the memo line, and it'll go to the right place. But yes, some of you need to be part of that sending team. And God's calling you to do that and step out in faith to be part of that team. And then finally, the last one is prayer. Now, everyone in this room should fit this category. If you're not in one of the two, then you are definitely in the third one, but everyone is in this one. This is in many ways the most important one of them all. We don't, just like Paul did not want to neglect the importance of prayer in his letter, we do not want to neglect the importance of prayer for our ministry. When you think about it, when we pray, we are appealing to God, the creator of the universe, to act and to save people by his grace. That's a prayer God wants to answer. It'll happen in his timing, but it's a prayer that God wants to answer. And so we want to get down on our knees and we need people to support us through praying to see lives changed. So if you want to join that prayer team, you say, hey, that's all I can do right now is pray. I might be able to be part of something else later in giving, but right now it's just prayer. Email me, scott@arapahoeroad.org. And then we're going to start sending out some email updates, even as we're going through the support raising process. And then eventually also when we get overseas to say, hey, here's what God's doing in our lives, and here's how you can pray for us. Please, please pray for us. So send me an email if you want to be on our support team through prayer or financial support. So as we kind of wrap up our time together, just think about where you are in one of those three categories: going, sending, praying. Where do you fit? And where does God want you to walk in obedience to be a part of living on mission through the church?
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.